These are the most fantastic people. Everybody in Uganda, I think, in your church. I saw thousands of people in your church called Freedom Mama. Is that right? You're the mama. And they all come and just love these guys so amazingly. And so I've talked a fair bit about Uganda and mentioned a few things. You can correct the little bits that I've probably got wrong. But I just had a huge impression on me just seeing the scope of your leadership, of the influence you've had in your nation. And it's just been outstanding. So when we actually called to ministry, when did that happen for you, Pastor Joseph?
Thank you, Pastor Bob. Good morning, everyone. I got saved Christmas Eve 1975. I was a young man of about 20. And in 1977, Idi Amin banned all the evangelical Pentecostal and churches.
Wow.
And we went into the underground and started praying from our homes. But later, in 1978, a year later, my pastor took a few young men out into Kenya, sort of hiding from the regime. And I got an opportunity to go to Bible school.
Wow.
Now, 3 years later, after Idi Amin had been deposed, and we came back to Uganda, I had a call from God to say, go to the streets of the nation and call the people. So that's how my calling started. I did not know whether it was for real, so I fasted an 11-day dry fast. No drink, no food, nothing. Just sat down and listened to God. And that's how I knew that God had called me into ministry. Now, the scope of what God has done between 1982 and now is an amazing job. Only God can do what he's done.
That's amazing.
We started out with nothing. We now have 500 churches under Victory, which we have personally pioneered. We also have raised 5 radio stations on the national level. We reach about 12 million people per day with our radios. We have also been appointed national leaders of the entire evangelical and Pentecostal movement in the nation for the next 5 years.
That's amazing. That's outstanding, yeah. Isn't it? It's just absolutely fantastic.
I believe that it comes out of a situation where we have suffered so much and have seen God come through for us. And out of that, the message of hope, the message of faith,
yes, yeah,
becomes very real with testimonies,
yes,
that follow. Miracles, signs, wonders, great things. And of course, on our side, being careful, knowing that this is just grace. We are not better than anybody. We've not done anything on our own. It's been the grace of God to allow us to be in leadership.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to let you sit down, and I'm going to talk to Frieda for a minute.
Thank
you. Is
that
good? Thank you. So, and tonight we'll hear some of that story of the transformation from, which I believe is going to be so really interesting. I can't wait for that. Pastor Frieda is a pastor in her own right. She is a great preacher. She's fantastic. When I was in speaking in the different meetings that I went to, I had the privilege of having Pastor Frieda interpret for me for one meeting. After that, I got her on one side because on the Passover festival, there were several speakers from the UK. There were a couple of speakers from the UK and myself. And I said to Pastor Frieda, you are my interpreter. Don't let them give me anybody else. So the other guys had to operate with just average interpreters. I had Pastor, what I said to her, I said, listen, I don't care what you say, just make me sound good. Because I had no idea. You know, I'd say 2 or 3 words and she'd talk for 5 minutes and everybody would cheer and I'd say amen. something like that. But I just so appreciate you, your family. You have.
We have 8 children of our own, 4 boys and 4 girls. And we have adopted 9. And we have 6 grandchildren. I'm a grandma. And we have a home, an orphanage home of 32. All of us staying in that same place. That is where Pastor Bob stayed with us.
So that's on the property. There's the orphanage as well with about 30 children as well as large extended family. And it's a great place to visit and be a part of. I'm going to let you just share with us for a few minutes. Would you like a pulpit here? You're okay?
I'm not going to preach. Pastor Bob had promised to interpret for me. He had said he was going to interpret for me, but I think he forgot his Luganda. So I'm going to speak in English. I thank you so much for having us in your church, having us here. It is a great privilege and honor for us to be here. Pastor Bob and Pastor Margaret have looked after us so well. We've eaten, my goodness, my husband was telling me, don't you think you are eating too much? Yeah, because like every time we are eating back home, we are so busy. We are doing this work, going here and there, but God is so good. This is a testimony to me to be here in New Zealand. Because if you see where we are coming from, East Africa, and where New Zealand is, it is so far away. I think we had to travel for about 20 plus hours from Uganda up to here. And when I was young, still in school, we studied a lot about Australia and New Zealand. And this is a place I never knew I would be in. But I thank God for Jesus, because it is because of Jesus that I'm here. It is because I gave my life to him. That is why I'm here. That is why I'm seeing you as family to me. And I want to encourage you that just stay there. Stay in Christ. You are going to see his goodness. When I talk about my family, when I tell people how big my family is and what God has done to us, people think, why? Why such a big family? I want to welcome all of you to Uganda, because when you come to Uganda, that is when you'll come to know what life is. Ever since I got here, I was telling Margaret, my goodness, I wish I lived here. This is like heaven. This is like heaven. People have to come to Uganda, and then you will appreciate God. You will appreciate God and say, thank you, Lord, for I was born where I am today. My husband usually preaches and says, if we had a choice to choose where to be born, so many of us would not choose to be born in Uganda. But when the choice we made to accept Jesus has made a difference in our lives. Life is not so easy. Life is so difficult. Life is tough. But when we gave our lives to Jesus, things changed. Everything changed. We enjoy ourselves. We just love being in Christ. There is a scripture. Pastor Bob told me I was going to share for 5 minutes, and I said, my goodness, what will I share in 5 minutes? And God gave me a scripture for you, which I want to share. Maybe it will make sense in some of you in your lives. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, now, the Bible says, but this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that is, that it may be well with you. When we walk in the commandments of God, it is always going to be well with us. I want to encourage you. I want to assure you that once you follow the ways of the Lord, all shall be well with you. You will not regret it. You will not say, oh, why am I here? Why did I come to Christ? Why did I accept him? Everything shall be well with you. I've seen God. I've seen God doing great and mighty things in our lives, not because we are so studied, we went far in school, no. Not because we come from very rich families, no. But because we have accepted to follow the ways of the Lord. That is what I want to tell you. Follow the ways of the Lord and it shall be well with you. You will not mourn, will not regret, no complaining. Just follow the Lord. Just follow his ways and it shall be well with you. You shall be happy. You will not complain. You shall be rejoicing when you come home and you see people dancing, people go without food. With my family, sometimes before then, we'd wake up in the morning, no food. And I have all my children. We are adopting. We are bringing in children in the family. But then we just praise God. And God provides for us. Because we just say, Lord, everything is in you. Everything is in your hands. Our lives is in your hands. And everything we do is in your hands. Even the church. That is why we've seen growth. We've seen growth in the church. When my husband woke up in the morning and said, we are going to have this meeting in the stadium, a very big stadium. The money they asked for. I said, now what is going to, where are we going to get the money from? And he said, God. I said, okay, if it is God, I'll follow you, because I decided for, we've been married for 25 years now. So I said, I told him, whatever you do, wherever you go, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. So we woke up in the morning, 31st December, the first time we had the meeting. People started coming. Okay, we made a call on the radio and things. People started coming in the stadium. And we said, my goodness, people are coming in. What are we going to do? So we saw God. People came in the stadium. God paid. The money was provided for. And everything happened. 1st January, we walked up out of the stadium. Everything paid for. And we said, Lord, we shall follow you all our lives. And I want to encourage you, follow the Lord your God. Follow his ways and it shall be well with you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you this morning. What an honor, what a privilege for me to stand before your great people and to proclaim your word. I thank you. Scripture says that your word is a lamp unto our feet. I pray that there will be illumination. Pray that there will be such a spirit of encouragement in my own soul to bring forth a word of encouragement, to share in the very things that you've done in my own life, and to bring joy and faith in the souls that will be listening this morning. Lord, all of you, Lord, and nothing of me. Show forth your glory. Release your power. Let the people not listen to man. Let them be encouraged, even if they do not remember me, do not remember my face. But let them remember what you had for us to hear this morning. And I thank you for this great church. I can in no way imagine standing in the shoes of a great man that stands here every morning to minister. So Lord, allow me to walk under the shadow of that man so that I'll not be compared to him, but only you will be known and seen for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Once again, good morning everyone. In Kampala and all the churches in Africa, most of the churches, we do a little bit of singing and dancing, and then we give the word at least 2 hours or 3 hours. But it's a different tradition here and a different place, so I'm going to be very careful how I conduct myself, otherwise I'll never come back to this nation once again. But I want to be, I want to know, it's now 10 minutes past, so I've got to be careful that I use my 30 minutes as allotted to me. If we jump to the book of Acts, chapter 26, Acts 26, it's a story of Paul. You all remember Paul was on the road to Damascus and he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. He falls down, he hears a voice, and the voice's instruction for him to stop kicking or kicking against the goats. And then he's instructed to go to the next city where he would get instructions. And of course, he gets this message that he's going to go to the nations to open their eyes, to turn away from the wickedness and become children of light. This is how he responded. And my message is going to be very simple. How to respond to a heavenly vision. In verse 19, it says, "Therefore, O King, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. But I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the regions of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that Christ would suffer, that he would be the first rise from the dead, and he would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." I'm going to make one demand of you, that I be encouraged. Normally when I'm in church and I start to minister, they know I am weak, they are strong, so they make a lot of noise in encouragement. They are free to say, oh yes. In our church, you're also free to say amen or hallelujah or something that comes to you, depending on your language. We have 48 languages in my country. That is 48 different words spoken to just say hallelujah. But you take it up and praise to God. The story is about Paul, as I said. How do you respond to a heavenly vision? I believe that every church, every mission, every organization that has a calling from God has to have a vision and a purpose both for being in their city. This church has no purpose being in this city if it has no purpose at all, maybe just being church. I believe that there are people whom we will show to the Lord at the end of time because this church was in Hamilton. I believe that the calling of Pastor Bob and his family, because actually God calls families, he called Abraham his family, God is a family man. Now, because he calls families, he can draw a whole family out of the people into ministry. But they must have a purpose and a reason for going wherever they are going, or for doing whatever they are doing. You also know from the book of Revelation that God spoke to the churches in Asia and he said, "I have you in this area for this purpose. I have you in that city for this reason." And that's the same reason why after some time, the angel of God comes back to the churches and says, "You church," whether it was Philadelphia or Thyatira or Smyrna or some other, he would say, you have stopped your first love. You have lost your purpose. For you were warm, you were hot. Now when I test, you neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out. So every church has a purpose and a reason for which they are established in any area. And I believe each one of us as an individual has a purpose for living. We don't just exist on this planet. We have life. Jesus came that we may have what? Life and have it abundantly. Now, I believe that having life in abundance is not only enjoying yourself, but is also living a life that goes out to the others, meets with them, and shows the glory of Christ. Somebody say amen to that. Now, when Paul stands before King Agrippa, in verse 19, he quickly says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, Paul realizes he had a purpose in that encounter with God. God met him. He could have done it with somebody else, but he met him for a particular purpose, and it was for a very powerful heavenly vision. Now, his response was, he was not disobedient. We can be very disobedient to a heavenly vision very quickly. We can be by our response. Most of us will respond by saying, I cannot do it. Do you remember, and I don't have the time to take you through all the stories, but do you remember when Moses was called to go to Egypt to bring out the children of Israel? His first response is, I cannot go. Why? Because there's witchcraft. And I don't have any power to combat witchcraft in Egypt. Thank God Egypt is in Africa. We can handle that. So God says, okay, I know what to do. What do you have in your hands? And Moses says, a stick. I got this stick sometime back when my father-in-law gave me a job as a shepherd, and I got this stick. I cut this stick myself. I went to the forest and I cut it myself. Okay. I'm going to turn that into a destroyer for witchcraft. How are you going to do it? Oh, I'm going to do it. Throw it down. It became a snake. Moses runs away from it. He says, no. It was just a stick. Don't run away. It's a stick. And he picked up again. And he says, with this rod, I will destroy all the power of Egypt. Now, do you realize, I believe you do, that the very little things that we despise, that the things that we have in our possession can be tools of deliverance for nations or for individuals in other areas. Moses cut a stick to control beasts. He ended up using the same stick to control demons. Somebody say amen. Amen. So there is no excuse again for not going to Egypt. You have to go. Oh, I cannot go because I am slow of speech. I'm like Pastor Joseph. I cannot speak very clearly. And God said to him, shut up. Who made the tongue? Who made the speech? Oh, I am slow to speak. I stammer. I stutter. And God said, don't worry about talking. You go there. Go with your brother. He will speak for you. You do the miracles. He will do the talking. And I will do the job. So you cannot disobey God because of an impediment, because of a weakness. You cannot talk to God and say, I can't do this because of that. There are no reasons to give, whether it is natural, whether it is supernatural, whether it is a weakness. You still have to go. May I challenge this church to look at what your pastor is saying as a vision for this church, and stop your disobedience, stop your excuses, and get the job done. You cannot. I am reminded of a scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Scripture says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is actually according to faith. When God spoke to Noah to prepare an ark, we don't have a record of ever having seen rain on earth. It was going to be an act of obedience. When God said, do it, there was no planner on earth. He was going to be the planner. There was no architect on earth. He was going to be the architect. There was no builder. He was going to be the builder. There was no sailor. He was going to be the sailor. It was all in him. When God gives you a vision, when God gives you an idea, he puts all the potential, all the power, and all the ability in you to make it happen. Same scripture says, even when Abraham was called, it's 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he went. Just imagine going to a place you don't know nothing about. When we are about to travel, Fred and I, and sometimes with other ministers, you make sure you know from where you start up to where you end, you know all the details. Where are we staying? How are we feeding? Where are we preaching? Who is doing what? Even when we were told we were going to minister here, we were told, Frida, you have 5 minutes. Joseph, you have 30 minutes and no more. We were told all of that. The reason for details is so that you know how far and how much it takes. If you can't take the heat, then you walk out of the kitchen. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. But with God, all things are not told you. You don't know anything in detail. God is not a detailed person. He's detailed to himself, but never gives the whole story to man. You don't know what's going to happen. When Joseph was given this vision as becoming the biggest man in Egypt, he saw a vision. He could see himself in vision. In reality, nothing. How he got to be there, had you warned Joseph that he was going to take your brothers fighting you, that they are going to hate you and be jealous of you, get envious, and think of even killing you, Joseph would have said, to hell with that kind of vision. If you had told him you're going to be sold for a slave, you're going to be put into a dungeon, you're going to be put into an inner prison, and by the way, you might stay there for over 15 years, Joseph would have said, that's not God, that is a demon. If you had said you're going to be in jail and you'll be forgotten forever, you'll be like no life, Joseph would have said, I cast out every demon in Egypt in Jesus' name. And he would have said, no. But because God never gives us the details, it is good that we know that God will never tell you everything. When he gives you a vision, he will give you provision, but you don't know how it will come. Amen, somebody. Somebody say amen. Okay, so blind obedience, silent obedience is what I'm advocating for. Stop your excuses. Stop saying it is impossible. Stop saying I can't do it. Stop saying I don't have money. Joshua said, I cannot. Moses was a great man. I am a very small man. I can't walk in the shoes of that man. And God said to him, be of good courage. Be strong. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. He tried everything he could, but God was not going to move. Jeremiah said, I cannot go. I am but a child. I don't even know how to speak. And God said, you don't know yourself enough. I tell you who you are. Before you were born, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you to be a prophet. Can you imagine what that means? That before I was born, God knew that I would stand here in this city and encourage one person. That God knew that. I am here enjoying the benefits of your nation. The pastor is pulling out his credit card everywhere we go. You know, and God knew all of that. Amazing. God knew it. God knew it. So we need to stop all our excuses. One man gave a very good excuse, and I love it. Isaiah. He said, oh God, you can send me. God was looking for somebody saying, whom will I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah says, I cannot go. I am a man of unclean lips. Well, then, if you have unclean lips, they come out of an unclean heart. So I'm sinful. You can't work with a sinful man. And God said, no, I know what to do with that. An angel came, a pair of tongues, and a coal of fire passed on his lips and says, now you're clean. Now you go. Every which way, every how, we will have to do God's will. We cannot escape. Amen. Number two, let's quickly jump into this. My time is up. I don't even know how. Prepare. Prepare. Be ready to be persecuted. Paul says in chapter 26 where we read, he says, I've declared the message to the people in Damascus, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the Gentiles. Verse 21, and for these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Listen, people, when God gives you a vision, expect to be mistreated, to be persecuted, to be misunderstood, to be hated, and where possible, to be isolated. Anything can happen to you if you have a vision. A vision. A God idea. There are four characteristics to a vision. Every vision has a vision carrier, a vision bearer. Every vision has a vision supporter, a vision encourager. But every vision has a vision stealer. Those that don't take time to look out for their own vision will always look out for what you've found out, and they want to do it better. They want to steal it. But worse still, every vision has a vision killer. Do you remember the children of Jacob saying, here comes the dreamer, talking about Joseph. Let us kill him and see what will become of his vision. That's Genesis chapter 39 and verse 17. Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the vision bearer. Let us do what? Kill him. They would rather kill the bearer, the dreamer, so that they see what happens. He was saved by a whisker. I don't know how he got saved, because somehow a caravan shows up and one of them says, hey, let's not kill him. Let's sell him over to these Arabs. It's as good as killing him anyway. So let's sell him, get some money for it. We've done a good job, good riddance, but we still got some money for it. Value for what you've done. And they sent him to this place where he would die. To me, it sounds like when they put him in that pit before they sold him, P-I-T, it was prophetic. P-I-T, pit. They threw him into a pit. Does that sound like pastor in training? Oh. Or maybe prophet in transition. Everything that is visionary has some kind of pit to it. Prosperity. In transit. It has to come the hard way. It will never be easy. When God spoke to me about radio many years ago, I was actually visiting in Australia, 1990. And God said to me, I was in this hotel in the city of Adelaide. And Frida had sent me a fax. Then faxes were the in thing. I mean, everybody had to receive a fax somewhere. If you go overseas and they said you have a fax, it was like you have an email today. But you had to receive one. So I got one. And Frida was telling me about all these people who wanted me to go to their towns and cities and islands. And I complained to God that early morning. I said, God, how can this be? I don't have money. God, you are very stingy. I know many people feel like me sometimes. It looks like you have a great thing to do and there's no money for it. And God is not coming through. His bank managers go overseas a lot. They are not there to approve the money you need. I needed a lot of money to do stuff. I want crusades and rallies. And there was no money. And God said to me, radio. Radio. I did not think he was talking about radio stations. Or station even. I thought, oh, that could be a radio program. So I went back to my nation. And I went to the Minister of Information and Broadcasting. I applied for a 30-minute program on the national radio, the Radio Uganda, a small 1 kilowatt medium wave transmitter donated by the Queen of England in 1953. I think it was her coronation. And the minister in charge of that little box said, no, over my dead body. Born-again Christians can never be on radio. We only allow official religions. Catholics, Anglicans, Muslims. The others, no way. Not even a 30-minute program. I said to God, I am sorry. I apologize. I don't think I heard you. Maybe it was a demon talking to me. And God said to me, I did not say radio program. What did you say? He never said. So, I looked at this entire thing and I said, which buttons do I punch to get the voice of God? Anyway, finally, 4 years later, the government of Uganda opened up under pressure from the International Monetary Fund and all the world, the superior financial powers. And we went into a situation where they privatized our economy. Many companies opened up. Services that were normally government services became private company services, and radio was one of them. A radio station called Radio One, a franchise from the UK, came on air in Uganda. And I was walking in a street, one of the streets in Kampala, and I stopped for lights as the cars also came to a halt so that we could just pass. In that split moment between the stopping of the car and I waiting to cross, I had this radio station going da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and a voice said to me, that's what I want you to have, a radio station. And I crossed, and I looked back at the man who spoke to me, and there was nobody. That's how radio started in Uganda with me. I went back to the same minister, and I said, I came here 4 years ago, I applied for a radio program. You said no. Now I want a radio station. Oh. He said no. And I said to him, okay, that's the end of you in this office because I can't get two no's. I've already got one. I got another one. You are out. And sure enough, he lost his seat in parliament. He went home. He's already now out there somewhere. In fact, he became a radio owner like me. Because 2 months after that, I had a license and I had equipment and we set up our first radio station. Today, we have 5 of them covering almost the entire nation. Can somebody say amen? Even as I'm standing here, we are believing God, trusting God for $15,000 to buy another transmitter to go to an area where there's so many people in the hills and they hear not the, they've not never heard the gospel. But every vision comes with these problems. Paul says, to this day, I continue preaching the same gospel. To this day, he says. If God has called you for a vision, God has called you for a mission, do not stop doing what God said to do. If you don't get fresh instructions, keep doing what he told you to do, even if it is 15 years ago. Keep doing the same thing. I talked about Noah in the beginning. When God said to Noah, we need to get there quickly. Let's get the book of Genesis. Genesis 6. Genesis 6, verse 22. Of course, you know that it says, God said, the earth is corrupt. I'm tired of this. I'm grieved in my heart. I'm going to destroy man and whatever I created. And then, and then he gives him instructions. He says, I come here. I want you to prepare an ark. Verse
22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. That's Genesis 6, 22. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. Between Genesis 6, 22 and Genesis 7, 1 is a span of 120 years. Silent years. Wow. Nothing is heard. We don't hear God commending Noah, saying, you've done a good job. This man starts on a big exploration. He's going to build this big ship. You don't hear an approval from heaven. You don't know whether he's doing it on size. You don't know whether it's going to float for real. Nothing. The command was build. The next command was enter. Listen, people. When God gives you an activity or responsibility or a vision, you may never get to hear him say, good job. Well done. You've done well so far. Continue. You may never hear that. I believe, personally, that God would come in the night with all his angels, with measuring rods and tape measures, and they would look at what Noah is doing. And they would say, wow, look at that. 25 feet, exactly. That's what I told him. And they would measure again and measure again and measure again. And they would go and say, he's done a good job. But Noah never got to hear any statement from heaven to say he was doing a good job. Because God is like that. When you hear God saying, thank you, you are dead. You died. You are in heaven. You died a long time ago. You would be in heaven to hear God say thank you. Because that's where we are all here. Come, sit here, enjoy this place. Been prepared for you a long time. You've done a good job, good servant. All these good servant, good job, well done. They are not on earth, they are in heaven. Somebody say amen to that. So don't cry out for, I need to hear a fresh word from God. Many people are crying out, I need to hear a fresh word and fresh manner and a fresh voice. And hey, what about the old things? I still have my old mother and my old father. My father is 82. My mother is 77. They are the same old people and they are still good. I'm still the old pastor. All things are good. We still have the old sun and gives us the same sunshine and gives us same heat. It's good. Come on. It's the same old Bible and with the same old truth, and it's good truth. We still have the same old unreached peoples of the earth. We should continue doing what God told us to do. And we will hear God say, that is enough. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray to you, for each one of you today. I trust that you have a vision. And I know that I've encouraged you in some way. I know I'm limited. I have an accent problem. You are different people. You are far away. It took us 23 hours to get here. New sea land, I think you should be, sea land. You are out there in the sea. Everywhere you go, two twists and two turns and there's water. Two twists and two turns and there's water. You are in the midst of the sea. Here we go. But even then, you still have a vision for life, for family. You have a vision for ministry. You want to grow better and grow bigger. I believe this church should extend and expand. I believe there will be more people to come. Don't lose that vision, whatever happens, because God knows why you're here. If you hold on to what God has told you to do, the sky will not even be the limit. God will be your anchor. He'll be your strength. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for this city and its pastor. I thank you that this church brings that freshness and that new reservoir of water, that oasis of love. I thank you that this church is set here to pronounce a future and a hope, an ability to reach out to the people, to go beyond, to transcend beyond the limits of language, the limits of color or race or ethnic differences, to go beyond anything that would have put a barrier, but to bring joy to your people, to bring forth a kingdom to your people, to create such an awareness of what your spirit can be. Now, Lord, bless this church. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Bring joy where it is needed. Revive any spirit that has been weakened. Revive any soul that is supposedly going down. Let young men have visions once again. Let old people dream dreams again. Let Bible schools be born out of here. Let colleges and let hospitals and churches be birthed out of the people here. Let every woman and every man be pregnant of a new thing for the year. God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you that you will allow this church to have tentacles and reaching out to people that they will extend the kingdom of God. Allow people to come and learn from what you're doing here. Let your will be done. We know Paul went to most of the cities that we see in the New Testament. Make this church a New Testament church. A church reaching out not only to its immediate community, but to communities beyond. Manifest your power and glory. Take teams out of this church to the nations of the world. Lord, let the spirit of worship that was exhibited here this morning be extended to India, to China, to Korea, and to Africa. Open doors for this church so that the people of the world may know that the God of heaven is also the God of the earth. This will be to your glory, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Thank you.
Awesome. Just don't go yet, guys. Just stand, Pastor. You know, I believe this is a word from God. You sense that this morning? You know, there's an anointing upon your life, a call of God, and you just know God's spoken to you this morning. I want you to stand up right where you are. Just stand up. You know, some of you just need a fresh touch. Some of that needs to be revived. Some things need to drop off, and some things need to take pride of place. Primary position for God, the Holy Spirit, to have his way. And I'm going to ask Pastor Joseph to pray. And just pray for you while you're standing there. There's too many to come forward and all of that. But, you know, God's already spoken to you, but let him seal it with his spirit. You know, no matter what age, what stage, what's gone before or what lies ahead, this is a moment in God for you this morning.
Lord, I thank you once again for every man and woman that says, this was for me. I ask you to move on their lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And bring freshness.
Yes.
No matter what has been, no matter what is. Scripture says, in you we move and live
God.
And have our being. Yes. We ask that you take every fiber of our lives every drop of sweat and blood in our eyes and use it for your kingdom and glory. Now renew every vision today, Lord, for each one of my sisters and brothers. Every one of us needs a fresh touch, a newness, a rekindling of your spirit.
Yes.
Do it, Lord, today. Let your people know this was you.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, go beyond any limitations and talk to each one of us. Spirit of God, move on each one of us, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for freshness. Thank you, Lord, because Scripture says in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters are to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Lord, I believe this was good news to somebody. Make that real. Make that happen for any one of us. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.